Welcome to Tulsa Beacon Weekend with Jeff Brucolari on AM 970 KCFO.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Tulsa Beacon Weekend. I am Jeff Brucolari. We are glad you've joined us here on this Saturday and hope you're having a good weekend. And I was just going to time this, but I don't want to time this interview today because I think this interview will have some life and afterlife. I don't know. We'll be able to re-air it is what I'm thinking. So I don't really want to date this interview because we've got a special guest with us here in studio. And my thought is when we get around maybe the holidays or I have to take a vacation or something, we can throw this on again and you'll get to hear this again because I think it's going to be a really good interview. And that's how I prejudge some of these things. Yes, I'm prejudiced. I prejudge these interviews and I know going into them what they're going to be all about. But I do know this. I can tell you about the Tulsa Beacon newspaper because that is out in print each and every Thursday. And you can get your copy of the Tulsa Beacon right now at the Minute Stop in Broken Arrow. That's located at 131st in Aspen. Also, you can purchase the newspaper at Wild Birds Unlimited at 61st in Yale in the Kings Point Village Shopping Center. Or you can subscribe just by calling the Tulsa Beacon office at 918-523-4425. 918-523-4425 is the phone number. You can call and subscribe to the Tulsa Beacon. Have it delivered to your home, office, or P.O. box, or wherever you would like to have it delivered, including friends and family out of town. We do have several people out of state that still subscribe to the Tulsa Beacon because they want to know what's going on. So we welcome into the studio here today Teresa Knox, and this is an interview request that I've been working on for quite a while, a few months, and I'm so glad to finally get you here in studio to talk about not only your new book, but also the church studio. Teresa, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so glad to be here. And hi, Kevin.
Hello. Yes. We have a relationship behind the microphone here today. And I was going to mention this, so you can feel free to turn your mic on, Kev, if you want to talk and chime in as well.
Right here.
Kevin is a part. Kevin is our producer engineer here at KCFO, and he helps record the program each and every week here on KCFO. So you don't always get to hear Kevin's voice, but we talk about Kevin and refer to Kevin some.
You talk about me a bit too much sometimes.
I refer to you.
Behind my back,
I refer to you in front of you. You're sitting right
indeed,
here.
Indeed, indeed.
Anyway, but you're involved with the church studio, so tell us that first, and then we'll get into our conversation here.
It's a high point of my week. Generally, Saturday mornings, I'm at the church studio as a docent, volunteering and showing folks around. We have guests coming in all the time and just love to show them around the facility, talk about the history and the current status and future of what's going on with the church studio. Just the spirit fairly oozes from the walls in that building, and yeah. I just love sharing it with anybody who comes by. You know, 6 days a week, I'm there Saturdays generally, but right. Any of my fellow docents will show folks just a wonderful time around
so
the
church. You're roughly a volunteer tour guide, right?
Yeah, well, sure.
Yeah, I mean, is that what...
Yeah, a docent, yeah, volunteer.
Docent, that word to me, ever since I was young, I've never liked that word. I'm like, what the heck, docent?
Well, that's it. See, it sounds so official, you have to define it sometimes.
So you're a volunteer tour guide.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay. He's fabulous.
You have people, you show them around and you tell them information and give them some of the play-by-play history of the building and what they're looking at.
We do. Frankly, so much has happened and is currently happening in that structure that we can only touch the tip of the iceberg.
But I bet you had to get some training to do that.
I did a lot of reading and, went along with some fellow volunteers initially, right, just to kind of get a feel for it.
Interesting. All right, we'll interview you another time.
Teresa, this is turning off my mic now.
This is Teresa's time. Teresa Knox is with us here from the church studio in Tulsa, the famous church studio. And she has written a book, written and photographs. These photographs are amazing in this book. Now, these photographs are not yours. They're from you and other sources, right? Different sources, correct?
Right. Some of the newer photographs are primarily taken by local photographer Phil Clarkin. Mm-hmm. Greg Bollinger, mostly Phil, though. He's fabulous.
And there's a lot of historical photographs in here as well, right, that you've dug up from the archives of Leon Russell and the church studio and so forth from over the years. And I was looking through this in just amazement. And you know, I would every once in a while I would see something and I go tell my wife and say, hey, you got to look at it. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. And we kept doing that back and forth. You know, I was like, oh, you got to look at this. And this has got to be, I will tell you, this is the heaviest book in my library. I have hundreds of books because I have interviewed people now for 30 something years on the radio, and I have hundreds of books from authors, and this has got to be the heaviest. And I have other coffee table model books, okay? But this has got to be the heaviest. That is some quality paper.
6.5 pounds, yes.
How much?
6.5 pounds.
Yeah, this is a workout. I could use this to curl. but you did put a lot of work in here, and I'm joking about the weight only to say that it's a quality book.
Thank you.
Because it's quality paper, right? You wanted the photos to really pop.
I did. The book is very chronological. There are 9 chapters. I've been collecting primarily Leon Russell memorabilia since I was a child. I started when I was 8 years old. And so I really wanted to capture, that collection and things that we've acquired since then. But the book truly is about the building. It's 110 years old. It has a beautiful story in our community.
And it was really a church.
It was finished in 1915. It was a Methodist church.
Yeah.
It was Grace Methodist Episcopal Church. And it was a special church. It was built by the early citizens of Tulsa. And, no architects, no blueprints. I believe it to be the second oldest church in our city that still stands. And it is the only one that was built, by the people without any formal drawings or architect.
It is amazing. I love looking at the old photos just to see a couple of things. Number one, the way the people dressed back in that day. Everybody dressed up no matter what day it was. It doesn't matter, suits and ties, everything. Just the way they dressed. And also the historical value of that photograph, especially when you were looking at like the building under construction and different parts of the building and so forth. Now, it has had many remodels and additions over the years. What we see now, if we go to the church studio, and I've been there, what we see now was not the building originally. There's been a couple of additions to it, correct?
Well, sort of. So the building that stands today is the original building from 1915. There was a fake stone called permastone that was applied in 1951. And it's the facade of what people think of the church studio, that iconic castle-looking structure. But when you go to the back of the studio, it is brick. And when I acquired it, the previous owner told me that was an addition, but it wasn't because the original church was all brick. The only addition to the property is what we did. I acquired it 9.5 years ago. There was a 6.5 year renovation, and we did add on to the south part of the building. And we had to do that for a number of reasons. One, we had to get it ADA compliant. Uh-huh. Number two, we brought in elevators. Number three, we brought in public restrooms. There was only one little restroom in the building.
Yeah.
And it was one room with 2 toilets. So it was a very odd little room. And of course, making more room for our gallery and a place for the musicians to be.
Yeah. So that part of the building you added on.
Correct.
Okay. When was that?
I started the renovation in the year I acquired it, which was 2016, and we opened the spring of 2022.
Wow. Okay. So it hasn't been that long, really. I mean,
we've been open 3 years.
And you just bought it in 2016, took several years to remodel and do what you did. And have only been open for 3 years.
Right. But, people think we've been open longer because the day.
The day after
I bought it, which was right before Leon Russell passed away, I made a logo. I got all the social handles. I built a very simple website and I started posting. And in these 9 years, I've never skipped a day posting on social media. So I was really, really determined to build our digital footprint while the renovation was going on. And one reason why it took so long is because during that time frame, we got listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So we are one of 6 historic recording studios in America that's recognized not only by our state historic office, but also the federal government. So we're in the same cohort as Motown, Capitol.
That's amazing.
Muscle Shoals, RCA Studio B. And so that was really important. But be careful what you ask for, because there are a lot of strings attached when you follow those.
What you can and cannot do?
Well, in a way, you know, when you follow those best practices set forth by National Park Service, there are a lot of things that you need to adhere to. And we definitely went by the book, and that delayed the project significantly. And it also increased the investment as well.
It cost you more money, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, I mean, a little expensive hobby going on at Third and Trenton.
Well, yes. I mean, you're on the
significantly
national,
over budget.
You're on the National Registry, but I'm sure there's certain things that you couldn't change to the building in order to keep that.
The facade, because, you know, it was a very short moment, but I thought, I wonder if I should remove that permastone.
And go back to the original brick?
Yes, because the original church was just so beautiful. And it's like, why did they put that crazy stone on it? But what qualified us for being on the National Register is what happened between 1972 and 1976. And that was during Leon Russell's time. And during that time, of course, that stone was on there. And so we wouldn't have been able to move that, because it has to look the way it did, the way Leon had it, which it does.
You started the interview by saying that you were a collector of Leon Russell memorabilia and stuff as a child. Mm-hmm. How the heck did you get interested in Leon Russell at a young age?
Older siblings.
Are you from here?
Yeah, I was born in Tulsa. I was born in West Tulsa, and just always loved music. We were a poor family. We didn't have a lot, but I always had a radio. I had a little radio, and, you know, I was just so impressed that over and over the local DJs would say, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, J.J. Kill, from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Leon Russell.
Right.
And then all the session players, you know, Jim Keltner is playing on this track, or this person, you know, Jesse Ed, or David Gates. I'm a sucker for soft rock. I love bread. And I just, you know, memorized all of those lyrics.
I like garlic bread. But
yes.
I mean,
but I love the band Bread.
But I do like David Gates.
Another Will Rogers graduate. And so, I had a sense of pride. I couldn't control, you know, my situation that I was in. But I don't know. I just started collecting things, and it just became a hobby through my adult years. And before I bought the church studio, and I bought it very impulsively, sight unseen, I had over 5,000 pieces already in my possession of Tulsa sound-related memorabilia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my original thinking was, I'm going to buy this building, and I'm going to have this really cool space. I'm going to hang up all of my stuff. My kids were getting older. I'm an empty nester now. And, you know, they love music, but I don't think they wanted any of the stuff that I had collected over the years. So, you know, that was kind of my initial thinking.
So is a lot of the items that are in the museum area of the studio yours, personal?
Yeah, I would say over 90%.
Oh, really?
Really, more than that, but yes.
Oh, so you didn't like get this from Leon's old house or something, or his basement or attic or whatever.
No,
a lot of it is yours?
Yes, mostly from garage sales and thrift stores. thank you. But I did acquire some things after Leon's passing from his widow, and she was very gracious, and they were going to have a really, they had a big estate sale, so I was able, I had about 30 minutes to peek at everything before things went on the marketplace, so I was able to acquire some things that were very personal to Leon that he kept in his collection.
Because you even have, I mean, we're not just talking about record albums and covers and stuff and photos and posters, but you have outfits and some of his clothing and accessories and
right.
I mean, just stuff like that things he wore and different things, right?
Yeah, we have so many things. And when I, you know, got wind of the Bob Dylan Center and then started reading about it in the paper, they called it the Bob Dylan Collection that Mr. Kaiser was going to acquire and contribute to the Bob Dylan Center. I was like, wow, archive. I was like, I wonder if I could call what I have an archive. So I renamed it the Church Studio Archive and kind of branded it that way. And even though most items I paid a quarter for, or, you know, I got from older siblings, you know, it was kind of neat to look at it in a more formal way and built a database. We have a software that is used by the majority of the museums in the country. So We, you know, enter the items and you know, track the provenance of them, where I acquired them. And I really love that because we have a lot of academic types and researchers and music historians that do research from our collection.
Man, we should have had you on for a whole hour because there's so much of this that we could talk about. But so the book itself is basically a printed version of the archives.
In a way, right? You know, the first chapter is called Birth of a Sanctuary, and I did find a lot of things pertaining to the building. So with 110 years, a lot of things had slipped through the cracks. And so when you look at that first chapter, you see hymnals, you see church pamphlets, again, that are over a century old that have not seen the light of day in many, many years. So those are part of the collection
Did you find the physical copies of those or just photographs?
Oh, no. I photographed the physical copies that I found.
Where did you find these? Like, mostly, were they in the building somewhere?
They were in the building.
Stored somewhere?
No. The building was dilapidated. It was wet. It was flooded. I mean, these were things that had fallen deep in the cracks underneath stairs. And we had to remove every wood plank in the building because we had to rebuild the infrastructure. So, again, the book is about not my collection. It's not about Leon Russell. It's not about Shelter Records, his boutique record label.
Right.
It's about this beautiful building that has withstood the test of time. If you think about it, we became a state in 1907. This was finished in 1915. You know, World War One. You know,
right?
The Great Depression, the race massacre. You know, World War Two, the Vietnam War. This building, very few buildings have stood the test of time in Tulsa, and the buildings that we do have in our city are from the 20s and 30s. And so, this is a very, very special building for our city. No one knew the year it was built. No one knew the denomination. There was no formal record of this building. Leon didn't know what year it was built. He didn't know about it. Neither did the five owners between Leon and myself. So I was really hyper fixated on building this story and researching, and I've interviewed over 400 people.
Well, I'm glad you did. Because
it's an important story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this building is historical. We're talking about the Church Studio folks in downtown Tulsa, or near downtown, basically.
Just east of downtown.
And it's called Sanctuary of Sound. That's the title of the book, The Church Studio Story. Teresa Knox, our guest here, she's the owner of the Church Studio, but also the author of this book, and has put this unbelievable coffee table version of a book together with great photographs throughout, full color photographs. And I mean, just everything from, like she was saying, the beginnings of the building and it being a real church, the Grace ME Church,
right.
Methodist Episcopal
right.
Church in Tulsa, all the way up to becoming one of the hottest recording studios in the country in the 1970s. With so many great artists that have come through there and have recorded, including myself and the Tulsa Praise Orchestra. I'm kidding.
TPO.
We really did. And we're in the book. It's amazing. I was shocked.
No, I love that.
We recorded our Christmas album at the church studio.
It's so beautiful. You guys are to get a, you know, it's one of the larger live rooms in the country. And, you know, we are able to record, you know, orchestral sessions so we can get a lot of musicians. You know, during the renovation, we brought in 28 miles of wire. All of our copper is the most premium in the world out of Japan. I mean, so we really put a lot of thought to, you know, put it back to really just following Leon Russell's playbook. But we also took a little bit from the early church because during Leon's time, you had to know someone to get in the building. It wasn't open to the public
right.
the way we are today.
Right.
But now, you know, everyone is welcome. And that was the intention of the early church. As evidenced by the original church creed that we discovered. That
must have been like treasure hunting.
Oh, absolutely.
When you went in there and you're finding this stuff from 100 years ago, that's got to be amazing.
Yes. I was there almost every day. I'm very hands-on during construction projects. And yes, and I, you know, we had over 300 subs, you know, come through the building, and every single one of them was like, if you find anything and I'm not here, be sure and call me. I think a few things were probably tossed, But, you know, the workers got excited about it. It's like, look what we found today.
Yeah.
And it was really, really special. And, again, very, very important. So that's probably, you know, the chapter one starts with the early church about the people. And chapter nine is called the people's church. And it ends with the people, which is, you know, how we have it today. It's really a beautiful community. And that was always the intention. But really the community that Leon Russell built, chapter two is called From Hymns to Hits. So it's the conversion of what happened in 1972 when Leon Russell acquired the building and converted it from a church into a recording studio. And that's really fun because you have people like Jamie Oldacre and Carl Radle and, you know, the famed Glenn Johns, you know, producer, and Peter Tosh, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, Bob Marley's first, you know, American single was on Leon's record label. And Mudcrutch, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I mean, it's really incredible. But chapter three goes into the record label.
Petty had been there many times, right? Tom Petty?
Yeah, I mean, he was discovered there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he signed to Leon's record label.
Yeah, he recorded a lot.
And I've interviewed three people of the Heartbreakers, and they said there would be no Heartbreakers without Tulsa, without the church studio, and without Leon Russell and Denny Cordell. And Denny was the British producer and Leon's partner in Shelter Records. But Shelter Records was very impactful. It was very boutique, very niche. It was short-lived, you know, from 72 to 76. But, you know, that label, well, it started before then. It started on the road with Mad Dogs and Englishmen with Joe Cocker in 69-70, but it's a business chapter, basically, when you look at chapter three, because it's this, you know, I had never heard anyone call Leon Russell an entrepreneur, but he was very entrepreneurial. He wanted something very different of what he was going through in LA with those labels.
Yeah, right.
And so I really love that, just someone being in business.
It was kind of a rebel move, wasn't it?
It definitely was.
And I've heard this from other artists, too, that because of what happens with certain record labels and studios in LA or New York or wherever, they went off and started their own thing. And that's what Leon did.
Right. It was definitely blue ocean. It was kind of uncharted territory. And it was great. I mean, when you talk to Mike Campbell of the Heartbreakers or Dwight Twilley, unfortunately, Dwight passed 2 years ago. But any of those people on that early label, it's extraordinary what they were doing and very innovative.
We're talking with Teresa Knox, the owner of the Church Studio in Tulsa and the author of this book, which is amazing, Sanctuary of Sound. Before we've got about 5 minutes or 6 minutes left, but before I run out of time and forget, how can people get a copy of this book? Obviously at the Church Studio,
right?
In the gift shop, right?
Yes, we have a gift shop there. So come in and I'll sign it for you, or you can order it online. It's available at churchstudio.com. Just click our shop icon. We do have a companion album that we've recorded that will be out by the end of October. So there are 9 chapters, there are 9 tracks, and I'm very excited about that. And they're named after the chapters, and the album is Sanctuary of Sound. And we are on all the streaming platforms if you search the Church Studio. So, you know, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, whatever you want. So all original music except for chapter one is our version of Amazing Grace.
Cool. Churchstudio.com.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And so who recorded on this album that's coming out? You say we recorded. You say
yeah,
no.
No. I was in the room directing.
Okay, well.
So the last track we had our volunteers and docents.
Oh, wow.
You know, we have a little bit of chanting going on with the choir, but they are all instrumental. So we have
instrumental.
A lot of local, mostly instrumental. Okay. And so our local musicians that are recording artists of ours, like Casey Van Beek and Charles Tuberville, and we had a great producer. Karen Harmon Nafee, who's fantastic violinist, and her daughter Lexi. Spencer Sutton, incredible piano player. If he wants to, he can sound just like Leon Russell. So it really is a celebration of our current music scene.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I'm just blown away by this whole book. I love looking at it.
Yeah, well,
and
thank you.
I'm honored that I've actually, I mean, when we were there recording, and I was there two or three times to record the Christmas album. But just going in there, you know there's history there. And you realize that.
You can feel it.
And it's just amazing to go in there and go, ah, I can't believe how many people have recorded here and have been in this building. And here we are, you know, little me, playing my horn and just playing there in that studio.
It's so amazing between Kenny Loggins and Jimmy Webb. And, you know, we had three Grammy nominations this past year.
Kenny Loggins' piano's there, right?
No.
Whose piano was it?
It's Dan Fogelberg's.
Oh, Dan Fogelberg's piano. That's right. Sorry.
Kenny played the keys.
I'm not a docent. I would have known that if I was a docent.
I know. We're going to have to put you through our training.
In my head, I knew it was one of those piano guys. Yes. That's Dan Fogelberg's piano.
Yes, but Taj received a Grammy in February. But just so many incredible people. A couple of months in June, we had the keyboardist for Journey, and it had been many years since he had played. You know, he wrote Open Arms.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you're talking about Kane.
John Kane. Yeah.
He was there when?
June.
Okay, so listen, I got to tell you this real quick. So a year and a half ago, in April of 24, when Journey was playing at the BOK Center, my wife and I went to the concert. We loved the concert. I love Journey. Great concert.
So
fantastic. He did a great solo on piano that night. John Kane did. So the next day, that's a Friday night. Saturday, we're at the church studio recording our Christmas album, okay, with Tulsa Praise Orchestra. We break for lunch. At lunchtime, I go down. I'm walking out your front door there, and there's Jonathan Kane and his wife, Paula White, standing there in the lobby. And I went,
He's been there, yes.
I said, you're Jonathan Kane. He says, I am.
Back.
I said, I was at the concert last night. He says, oh, really? And I said, yeah, amazing. I said, your solo was fantastic. He goes, I threw in a little of The Entertainer. Did you catch that? I said, yes. It was great. We started talking.
He's so special.
And so I asked for a photo, and I wanted to get a picture of the two of them, you know.
Right.
But
no, Paula's so sweet.
She's so busy with Trump. I'll take the photo. She took the photo.
You know, she's Trump's spiritual advisor, and she's really fun.
So he came back?
Yeah, he came back just a couple of months ago, and we were just in there, and he loves that piano. And so he started playing Open Arms, and it was like, and I was like, and I was alone in there, and so I had to whip out my phone, and you know, it brought me to tears because he you know, Dan Fogelberg, who's so special, in Leon Space, I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Those
stories happen every day.
I love Jonathan, man. Next time he comes, you go call me.
Yeah, he's coming back to record, so
you got
to
call me. I'll come in there and just say hi. Oh man, we're talking with Teresa Knox from the church studio here. We are almost out of time. I got to remind you to pick up your copy of the Tulsa Beacon newspaper located at the Minute Stop in Broken Arrow at 131st and Aspen. Also, you can buy it at Wild Birds Unlimited at 61st and Yale, and call 918-523-4425 to subscribe over the phone. By the way, I am scheduled to do one of your Tunes at Noon.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's one of our programs.
I am honored.
We have live music at noon on Saturdays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. And I think we're booking in 2027.
Yeah, well, you know what date I have?
What?
My wife's birthday, July 14 of next year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're adding.
And I'm thrilled.
I believe we're
going to
do it
five days
a week starting in 2026.
Are you serious?
But, you know, you get a recording scholarship.
Oh, man.
You know, you get paid. It's just a way to bring in our local musicians into their property. And that can be going on while a recording session is happening in the original sanctuary, which is our live room.
I tell you, that is more than generous what you're doing for the local musicians.
Well, we love our local musicians, and even though we work with, you know, all the major labels and we have film projects, I mean, our heart is, you know, why the building was constructed. It's for the people, by the people, and we want to honor that legacy. And also, it's the same thing what Leon was doing. He was very, very famous, number one artist in America in 72, came back to his hometown wanting to give local musicians opportunities.
I've recorded three solo albums, but none at the church studio, and I'm going to have one next year.
You better have one.
That'll be awesome.
You might get a Grammy.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but I'll just be thrilled to have, you know, you guys on that CD. Well, Teresa, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Will you
come back? Absolutely.
This was
fun.
Good. We will have her back, folks. Teresa Knox, don't forget, you can get a copy of the book at the Church Studio gift shop or churchstudio.com. on the website. Check it out. And they've got a new album coming out as well that'll be an accompaniment to the book itself. The book is called Sanctuary of Sound, and it certainly is. No doubt about it. What a great book it is. We'll be back with more here on Tulsa Beacon Weekend.